RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia again sends food aids for Rohingya to Bangladesh. Indonesia to continue to send relief aids for Rakhine State refugees. Now the news in detail. Relief assistance in the form of food for Rohingya refugees from the Indonesian government again arrived in Bangladesh on Saturday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, a C-130 Hercules of Indonesian Air Force landed at Hazrat Shah Amanat Airport, Chittagong, on Saturday afternoon, 10th local time. The Hercules Air Force was delivering 10.5 tons of rice to the Rohingya community. In addition, at 12 p.m. Bangladesh time, another Air Force Hercules also landed delivering fast food, lights, and electric generators. The A-1316 Hercules dropped the relief items and brought them to the Bangladeshi government's warehouse. The total assistance brought on Saturday was 20 tons, consisting of 10.5 tons of rice and 9.5 tons of logistic and emergency items, such as instant food, emergency lights, blankets, and generator. The Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Bangladesh continues to seek permission and security escort for the team to review the need for assistance of ethnic Rohingya. Indonesia continued to send aids for Rakhine State refugees in the border between Myanmar and Bangladesh. The aids delivered have reached 54 tons. This was conveyed by Director of Disaster Response of National Disaster Management Agency, Junjungan Tambunan, to journalists on Saturday. He said that the aids sent batch by batch were in fact still not enough, considering the current number of refugees has reached 720,000 people. Therefore, the Indonesian government will keep on sending humanitarian aids. The Hercules A-1319 and A-1316 aircraft carrying aids Saturday, September the 16th, arrived at Shah Amanat International Airport, Chittagong, Bangladesh. Both aircraft carried humanitarian aids weighing 19.8 tons, consisting of 10 tons of rice, ready-to-eat meals, lamps, tents, and blankets. Meanwhile, Eka Widyati Ningsih, representative of the Indonesian Embassy in Bangladesh, said that assistance from Indonesia has arrived in Cox City Bazar, the closest city to the Rakhine State refugee area. The aids will be distributed by the local government. Appointed as a keynote speaker in the National Seminar on National Education at Catholic University of Santo Tomas Medan, North Sumatra, Minister of Home Affairs Cahyokumolo described the conditions faced by Indonesia. At present, according to Cahyokumolo, Indonesia is facing social and health problems. Problems in food and clothing needs, as well as drugs, radicalism, terrorism problems. Cahyokumolo in Medan, North Sumatra, said on Saturday, the responsibility is not only on the shoulders of the Indonesian military and the Indonesian police, but on all elements of society. According to him, pluralism has become a power in warding off all the ideologies that try to destroy the country. Communication between the government and society must be tightly done and in accordance with the unity of the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government hopes to immediately improve inter-country connectivity with Bangladesh. This was conveyed by the Indonesian ambassador to Bangladesh, Rina P. Sumarno, after conducting a coordination meeting on the delivery of Indonesian relief materials to Bangladesh on Friday afternoon. Ambassador Rina said direct flight is needed to improve the cooperation relationship between the two countries so that it becomes one of the priorities to be achieved. She said now there is a direct flight connecting Jakarta and Dhaka. However, it needs to be increased to encourage the increasing Indonesia-Bangladesh cooperation.
Jadi dari awal saya sudah melihat bahwa connectivity ini harus dikembangkan. Direct flight, benar. Dan kami sedang mengupayakan.
I have seen that this connection must be developed through direct flight, and we are working to get Sriwijaya Air to fly here, and it has been discussed several times, and the negotiations is expected to be implemented before the end of the year. However, the infrastructure must still be developed in terms of infra-hub of both countries. There is an agreement between the two countries on air transport, which is still in the year of 1997, and there are still conditions that cannot be done anymore at this time, such as two-time flights per week. We are trying to increase the number of flights so that there will be more aircraft entering the country.
Jauh lebih tinggi dari itu, supaya banyak pesawat lain juga bisa masuk.
Furthermore, Indonesian Ambassador to Bangladesh Rina P. Sumarno said Bangladesh has become a potential market for Indonesia in recent years. This prompted her to further enhance cooperation between the two countries, especially in the field of economic cooperation. She said the cooperation between Indonesia and Bangladesh is currently still open enough room for its development. She is optimistic that the trade value of the two countries can be improved even up to 3 times from that of last year. Until 2016, the total trade value of Indonesia-Bangladesh reached $1.3 billion. Ambassador Rina is optimistic that the number will increase to $2.6 billion in the next 3 years. The Indonesian government claimed to provide financial assistance to creative economy business development in Islamic boarding schools or pesantren. Pesantren management expects that it is not just lip service. As Diana, presidential expert staff of Inter-Ministries Program and Budget Synergy, presidential staff office, said that the government opened up opportunities to all Islamic boarding schools, especially Nahdlatul Ulama Pesantren in East Java, to obtain assistance. As Diana said in Kediri on Saturday, September the 16th, that it can be in the form of financial assistance, training, or equipment. The assistance, as Diana continued, will be provided in 2018 budget allocation. Therefore, Pesantren management is required to immediately submit a proposal based on its potentials to the government. This program indicates Joko Widodo administration support to both traditional or Salaf and modern Pesantren in Indonesia. East Java Nahdlatul Ulama Islamic Boarding School Association Chairman Ahmad Reza Zahid, or Gus Reza, expects that Pesantren can actually make the best out of this program. Special Counselor for Strategic Issues of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Jauhari Oratmangun, was of the view that the younger generation can be the key to the future of ASEAN, especially within the scope of the ASEAN Economic Community. Jauhari Oratmangun, in 2017 press conference at the Senate of Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta on Saturday, said that young entrepreneurs will become the foundation in moving the wheels of the ASEAN economy. The future of ASEAN is in the hands of the young generation. Jauhari explained that ASEAN has the advantage of having a productive young generation. Therefore, not only help drive the economy by creating new businesses, the younger generation, according to Jauhari, should contribute to overcoming problems in society and empowering societies through social-based businesses. The visit of President of Chile, Veronica Michelle Bachelet, to Indonesia, welcomed by Indonesian President Joko Widodo in May 2017, was a very fruitful visit. Both leaders exchanged experience and shared information that both countries had. This was conveyed by the Chilean ambassador to Indonesia, Gonzalo Mendoza, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta recently.
Well, President Bachelet wanted to pay this visit to Indonesia. And President Jokowi and his staff were kind enough to gather her. And I think it was a very fruitful visit. Both presidents, you know, I think they have a lot in common. We share a lot of principles and values, and would say good communication between them. I would say a very good working session with the delegations, with the cabinet, with ministers.
Ambassador Mendoza also said they wanted to further enhance cooperation with Indonesia, which has established diplomatic relations with Chile for about 4 decades. Last item, SAIL Sabang 2017 is ready to be held on November the 28th to December the 5th this year. For the success of these activities, a variety of preparations continue to be done. That was explained by the head of Aceh Public Relations and Protocol Bureau, Mulyadi Nurnudin, on Saturday after attending a coordinating meeting on the preparation of the peak of SAIL Sabang with Indonesian Coordinating Ministry of Maritime in Jakarta Saturday. He said that SAIL Sabang will start on November 28th until December the 5th. The location of the event will be at 4 points, Sabang Bay, Sabang Fair, Gapang Resort, and Point 0 Kilometer. Mulyadi Nurdin explained the peak of the event will take place in Pasir Sabang Bay, which is scheduled to be attended by Indonesian President Joko Widodo. Mulyadi Nurdin expected SAIL Sabang 2017 will become Aceh's tourism promotion event and can be utilized by all parties as a moment to increase the economy. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia again sends food aids for Rohingyas to Bangladesh. Indonesia to continuously send relief aids for Rakhine State refugees. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our weekly segment of news from across the country. The segment which present interesting informations from various regions in a week. The first story comes from Jambi Province. Vice Governor of Jambi, Fahrori Umar, officially opened the 2017 Merangin National Geopark Ancient Festival, which was centered in Taman Batu, Merangin District. The Merangin National Geopark Ancient Festival, which was held on September 11 to 14, is an effort to introduce the object of the park's garden to be closer to the people and tourists. The new tourism activity held this year will be the annual agenda of Merangin Regency every September. The festival was enlivened with various activities and competitions. Among other exhibitions, bazaars, and art performances such as Sayak Dance, Banana Dance, Sikadam Dance, Lukah Golo Dance, as well as a number of other typical Merangin dances. In this tourism activity, there was also held a national rafting contest, which began in the Air Batu village, Renah Pembarap sub-district, with a road along Batang Merangin River. Along the river, there is an interesting Merangin Geopark fossils can be enjoyed. The Merangin National Geopark Charm Festival in Jambi was followed by participants from various regions of the country and also held a camp that takes place in the Merangin Durian Garden in the area of Merangin Geopark belongs to the regional government. The next story comes from the capital city of Jakarta. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Puan Maharani inaugurated Indonesia Museum of Health and Medicine, or IMERI Museum, of the Faculty of Medicine University of Indonesia, which is the first medical education museum in Indonesia, in Salemba, Jakarta, on Thursday, September 14. The Rector of University of Indonesia, in his written statement, stated that E-Museum has more than 5,000 collections in the form of medical specimens and artifacts in the form of medical education assistance from the Dutch East Indies era to the modern era, video and media directory. One of the hallmarks of E-Museum IMERI is the presence of 3D human visualization table, a new learning media which firstly present and only one in Southeast Asia. We end the segment with a story comes from Surakarta, Central Java. Surakarta City once again held the Indonesian Umbrella Festival from 15 to 17 September 2017. The festival, which brings the umbrella crafters from various cities, is held in the Pura Mangkunegaran complex. Coordinator of the Indonesian Umbrella Festival 2017, Heru Prasetyo, last Tuesday said, "The umbrella is a craft of cultural relics in the past. There are several temples that have a picture of umbrella in its relief." He also claimed to have found some old photos about the work of the archipelago from the museum in the Netherlands. There are 25 photos of the 1900s era exhibited in the Umbrella Festival. In this festival, organizers invite the umbrella craftsmen from various regions such as Langkat Sawah, Tasikmalaya, Banyumas, Malang, and Klaten. The artisans exhibited the work and held a workshop on making umbrella crafts. There are umbrellas made of paper to lurik fabric. Listener, that was the news from across the country. Thanks for joining us.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start from September 17, 1945. The Indonesian Red Cross Society, or IRCS, was created on September 17, 1945, exactly 1 month after Indonesia's independence. President Sukarno then ordered its inception when a battle between Indonesian soldiers and Allied troops broke out, leaving many wounded on September 3, 1945. Based on the performance, IRCS received an international recognition in 1950 that it was accepted as a member of the International Red Cross and achieved its legal status through Presidential Decree No. 25 to 1959, which was later reinforced by Presidential Decree No. 245-1963. Turning to September 17, 1978, the Camp David Accords are signed. The Camp David Accords were signed by Egyptian President Anwar el-Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin on September 17, 1978, following 12 days of secret negotiations at Camp David. The two framework agreements were signed at the White House and were witnessed by United States President Jimmy Carter. The second of these frameworks, or a framework for the conclusion of a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel, led directly to the 1979 Egypt-Israel Peace Treaty. Due to the agreement, Sadat and Begin received the shared 1978 Nobel Peace Prize. The first framework, a framework for peace in the Middle East, which dealt with the Palestinian territories, was written without participation of the Palestinians and was condemned by the United Nations. Let's end with September 17, 1988, Summer Olympics 1988. The 1988 Summer Olympics, officially known as the Games of the 24th Olympiad, were an international multi-sport event celebrated from September 17 to October 2, 1988 in Seoul, South Korea. They were the second Summer Olympic Games to be held in Asia and the first since 1964 Summer Olympics held in Tokyo, Japan. Seoul is the largest city to host the Summer Olympics, a title soon to be turned over to Tokyo in 2020. These were the last Olympic Games for two of the world's dominating sport powers, the Soviet Union and East Germany, as both ceased to exist before the next Olympic Games. The Games were boycotted by North Korea and its allies Albania, Ethiopia, Cuba, Madagascar, and Seychelles. North Korea was still officially at war with South Korea. Nicaragua boycotted the Games because the United States military support the Contra rebels. However, the much larger boycott seen in the previous three Summer Olympics, 1976, 1980, and 1984, were avoided, resulting in the largest ever number of participating nations during the Cold War era. Well, that was Today in History. From RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with this week's spotlight, which today is on ASEAN recommends early detection against illegal trading. Stay tuned. Southeast Asian or ASEAN countries have recommended the importance of early detection of all forms of illegal trade in protected plant and wildlife. The steps to be taken are to encourage the cooperation platform for the exchange of data and information between countries. The recommendations appear in the fourth regional dialogue themed against illegal trade in fauna and wild flora in Bangkok, Thailand on Thursday, September the 14th. The dialogue was organized by the Thai Ministry of Natural Resources and Environment in cooperation with the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, Life Asia, and International Union for Conservation of Nature, IUCN, and other conservation organizations. The dialogue was followed by 10 ASEAN countries, namely Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Brunei, Vietnam, Laos, Myanmar, and Cambodia. Also present were representatives from China and the Thai government as well as the conservation organizations. Head of East Nusa Tenggara's Natural Resource Conservation Center, Tamen Sitorus, one of the four Indonesian delegations in the dialogue, said early detection was encouraged to ensure that the handling of illegal trade in protected plants and wildlife in the ASEAN region is much faster. Tamen Sitorus said, with the platform, if there is any illegal trade and protected plants and wildlife in one country, it can directly communicate or exchange data or information with other countries in ASEAN, although they have their own sovereignty. A specialist for change and behavior, USAID Bijak Indonesia, Ruli Prayoga, who is also a participant of the dialogue, added, the data and information proposed in the platform is more of intelligence or confidential data. For example, if there is intelligence information about protected animals to be shipped from Indonesia to Thailand, Indonesia can immediately notify Thailand. In addition, said Ruli Prayoga, in the platform is also proposed forensic data. Thailand, for example, is already very good in elephant forensic. If later this platform can be realized, other countries in the ASEAN region can access the data for comparison. Meanwhile, Secretary General of the Ministry of Natural Resources and Environment of Thailand, Vijan Simachaya hopes the recommendation could make the handling of illegal trade of protected wild plants and animals better. Well, that was this week's Spotlight over Voice of Indonesia. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with news in brief. Relief assistance in the form of food for Rohingya refugees from the Indonesian government again arrived in Bangladesh on Saturday. Indonesia continues to send aid for Rakhine State refugees in the border between Myanmar and Bangladesh. Appointed as a keynote speaker in the National Seminar on National Education at Catholic University of Santo Tomas Medan, North Sumatra, Minister of Home Affairs Cahyo Kumolo described the conditions faced by Indonesia in social and health problems, problems in food and clothing needs, as well as drugs, radicalism, and terrorism problems. The Indonesian government hopes to immediately improve inter-country connectivity with Bangladesh. The Indonesian government claimed to provide financial assistance to creative economy business development in Islamic boarding schools. Special Counselor for Strategic Issues of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Johari Oratmangun, was of the view that the younger generation can be the key to the future of ASEAN, especially within the scope of the ASEAN Economic Community. SAIL Sabang 2017 is ready to be held on November the 28th until December the 5th, 2017. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program which will introduce you to Indonesian places of interest, culture and tradition, and cuisine. Today, I will take you to Solo, Central Java Province, to sample a popular food or snack, maybe from the area Cambuk Rambak. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Other than via shortwave, you can also listen to this program at www.voi.co.id. The city of Solo in Central Java Province, in addition to being famous for the birthplace of the 7th President of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, is also known as a culinary paradise. Here, a variety of culinary ready to satisfy your tongue. One of them is Cambuk Rambak. Even for most Indonesians, the name Cambuk Rambak does sound strange, while spices and materials used are also quite unique. Therefore, people would say it is incomplete if you go to Solo and not tasting this unique culinary. Cambuk Rambak comes from the word cambuk, which means sesame, because the seasoning or sauce of this food is using roasted sesame. While rambak in Japanese means cowhide skin crackers. This is rather strange because surprisingly there is no skin crackers or rambak in the ingredients. Probably in the past, people served cambuk rambak with real rambak or cowhide skin crackers. But because the price is getting more and more expensive, now people are using cheaper cracker made of rice called karak. In Solo, where you can find it almost everywhere, when you order cabut rambak, then the seller will immediately take a piece of banana leaf and fold it and then pint with a kind of toothpick sticks to form a plate or cone called pincho. After that, he or she will take a rice cake cooked in coconut leaf called ketupat, split it into two and slice it thinly. Then it is given a sprinkle of spice made from sesame. Although the color of sesame spice is a little bit pale, it's very tasty. Then the seller will add two or three pieces of kara or rice crackers. No spoon or fork needed to eat this cabut rambak. The seller would provide you with a stick made of coconut leaf bone on top of one slice of ketupat to be used as a fork. Unique, isn't it? Cabut rambak is actually very simple to prepare. The tasty spice is made from roasted sesame and grated young coconut. Then add it with finely chopped orange leaves, garlic, pecan, and kencur. Mash or grain finely and add some pepper powder, salt, and sugar. Then add some water. Although simple, this cabut rambak is now quite rare. If you want to enjoy this food, you have to go to certain places such as Pasar Gede Market from 6 a.m. until 1 p.m. While on Sunday or holiday, in addition to the Pasar Gede Market, you can look around Manahan Stadium. Although cabut rambak is somewhat difficult to obtain, for those who already tasted it, usually would like to enjoy it again and again. Moreover, the price is very cheap. One portion of cabut rambak is only about 2,000 rupiah, so if you are in Solo, don't forget to find and try this special tasty culinary cabut rambak with its unique presentation. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. We'll meet again tomorrow with the same program. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Radio Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miscellany with me, Andika. Today we will explore the topic of Presiden inaugurated the new Indonesia's National Library Building. Stay tuned! Indonesia now has the highest library building in the world. It was inaugurated by President Joko Widodo on last Thursday, September 14, 2017, in a ceremony attended by Minister of Education and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, National Library Director, Muhammad Syarif Bando, and the Governor of DKI Jakarta, Jarod Saiful Hidayat. The building located on Jalan Medan Merdeka Selatan, Central Jakarta, is designed with the concept of green building. Based on information from various sites, currently there are two highest libraries in the world named W.E.B. Du Bois Library in the United States, located in Massachusetts with a height of 286 feet, 4 and 1 per 8 inch or about 88 meters, and Shanghai Library Institute in China has a height of 348 feet or 106 meters. While the National Library of Indonesia recorded a height of 126.3 meters, higher than both libraries. The 27-story building provides facilities such as a National Library membership service room, a theater room, a reading culture promotion zone, data center, children's service, elderly and disability service, rare book collection service, to multimedia services. At the inauguration of the new National Library building, President Joko Widodo said previously the building, consists of three floors, was rarely visited by the public. The president added that he would ask the Minister of Research, Technology, and Higher Education that international journalists from all universities in Indonesia are centralized in this National Library to be cheaper and efficient. According to the president, the idea of building this library has been around since President Sukarno. Renovation of the National Library building takes 2 years and 6 months and costs 465 billion rupiah. Jokowi hoped the existence of this new National Library building can further foster and increase interest in reading in the community. That was Miss Lenny for today. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Lenny on Indonesia.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are knowledge. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or email. First, I would like to read an email sent by Aisha Chaima in Algeria. She sent her email to our broadcast through info.voi.co.id on March 1st, 2017. In her email, Mr. Aisha Chaima said that she asked to send her VOI products, such as books, booklet, pictures, guides of our programs, because she needs to learn our sweet language. Hello Aisha Chaima, thank you for your emails on our broadcast. We are really sorry because we cannot send your request. You can find our broadcasting schedule through our website www.voi.co.id. If you want to learn about our language, Indonesian, you can tune in our segment Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Through this segment, you can learn Indonesia word by word. If you always listen to this segment, we believe that you can enrich your vocabulary of our language. And you can practice it when you visit our country or if you write your email to our broadcast. For the picture, we suggest you to follow our Facebook fan page. But you don't have to worry, we will send our QSL card to your home as soon as possible. Please be patient to wait for it. Well, Aisha Chaima, keep listening to our broadcast. We are looking forward to receiving your email and reception report. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Sebut namamu lagi, ku panggil namamu lagi. Setiap hatiku merindukanmu, ya Allah. Tunjukkan terus jalanmu, bersujud padamu lagi, kembali padamu lagi. Setiap malamku aku berdoa, ya Allah, ampuni terus hambamu selamanya. Kuatkan aku menghadapi cobaanmu, ikhlaskan segalanya hanya kepadamu. Sedikit pun takkan ku melupakanmu, tiada habis ku bersyukur selalu milikimu.
Listener, now we will reply a letter from Jeferino Camaggio in Argentina. He was listening to our broadcast in Spanish program through the internet. In his email, Jeferino Camaggio said that our broadcast is very poorly received in South America. He also tells that our segments of our program are very interesting. He likes Indonesian music and culture. Hello, Jeferino Camaggio. Thank you for your email and compliment on our broadcast. Probably, signal of the internet in your country is not strong enough. You can try our frequency 9525 kHz. And please do not have to worry, we have forwarded your email to Spanish section. So please be patient to wait our QSL card. We will send the card immediately. Well, Jeferino Camaggio, keep listening to our broadcast and please do not forget to send your reception report. Thank you.
Kurasakan kepadamu, bila ku lukiskan, bila ku bayangkan, semuanya takkan cukup ku sadari. Sesungguhnya telah ku berikan semua. cintaku ini terlanjur mencintai, terlanjur menyayangi dirimu seorang. Cintaku ini terlanjur memilihmu, terlanjur memujamu dengan atau tanpamu di sisiku. Bila ku lukiskan, bila ku bayangkan, semuanya takkan cukup kau sadari. Sesungguhnya telah ku berikan semua.
Still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to replay a comment from Mark Spat. In his email, Mark Spat said Exotic Indonesia should also broadcast from the RRI station in Jayapura, Manokwari. Hello Mark Spat, thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We will deliver your suggestion to our management. Maybe your suggestion can be our consideration. Thank you. So, Mark Spat, keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. For you, listener wherever you are, we'll play a beautiful song.
Aku merasa ada yang lain denganmu. Setiap kali ku di dekatmu, ada cinta yang lain selain cintaku. Ku curiga telah di hatimu. Aku yang sudah punya kamu, harusnya ku tak curiga seperti ini. Untuk semua yang sudah kita yakini berdua selama ini, kamu yang sudah punya aku, ku harap takkan menduakan cintaku untuk cinta yang salah, yang pasti membuatku tinggalkanmu. Seharusnya ku tak curiga seperti ini untuk semua yang sudah kita yakini berdua selama ini. Kamu yang sudah punya aku, ku harap takkan menduakan cintaku untuk cinta yang salah, yang pasti membuatku tinggalkanmu.
Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, we want to reply an email from Sardar Munir Akhtar in Pakistan. Hello Sardar Munir Akhtar, thank you for sending your email on our broadcast. Don't have to worry, your listener club will be registered in our listener's list. And please be patient to wait for our queue is all card, which will be sent to your country. Well, Sardar Munir Akhtar, we are looking forward to receiving your next email, including your reception report. Thank you. Listener, on September 11, Radio Republik Indonesia celebrates its 72nd anniversary. We have received several greetings in the forms of cards, text, video, or audio from our listeners around the world. Thank you very much, and we really appreciate it. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception report and our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com. voi.english@gmail.com or to english@voi.co.id. english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I am Adika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener Mailbag.
Sejak ku lihat dia, langsung ku berkata, astaga cantik. Sudah.
Of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
It's live to www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.